Welcome to the Longest Trainee Sunday podcast, a production by Emory University students in David Morgan's Play Make Write Think class.
Time has stopped. Everything is uncertain. We're physically distanced and socially disconnected as a pandemic and fights for justice rage around us.
The world might be forever changed after the events of 2020, but where does that leave us in the meantime?
It felt to a lot of us like one almost unending rainy afternoon, staring at video screens.
Either to escape, to connect, or to imagine a better way forward.
Even the World Health Organization, 1 year after designating video game addiction as a mental health disorder, is now urging people to play more video games
and celebrate the important messages that the video games industry can communicate.
So in this series, we'll turn our critical gaze to the games we have been playing, examine what they have to offer right now.
How do these games define identity, foster a sense of belonging, encourage empathy, or subvert systems?
How do they encourage certain types of problem solving and learning?
What sorts of values do they promote?
The world hit pause, so let's hit play.
Hi everybody, and welcome to the first episode titled Survival, Minecraft and in Quarantine. Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia is a 631-acre campus rife with eye-catching architecture, pretty green fields, and unique archways that all contribute to what can only be described as a beautiful campus. Perhaps this sounds like one of those desperate college pamphlets you received as a high school senior. But Emory University can also be found via Minecraft. A particular IP address takes you to a world where you can explore Emory in all of its halls, classrooms, dorms, parks, and even trees down to their very leaves. And Emory isn't the only school that does this either. Similar Minecraft simulations exist for many colleges across the nation, which are all, of course, building projects that take thousands of hours to complete. So why do people burden themselves so much? Isn't it just menial labor with no successful finish? Let's back up.
Minecraft, initially called Cave Game, which was made by Marcus Persson back in 2009, was first released on the PC and was attractive to people who liked to code and design gaming worlds. It was more of a source tool than a game for most people, and users could go and create what they wanted using basic blocks, and it was really more of a simple game back then.
Once this project started to take off, the creator released it in its updated format as a shadow of the Minecraft we know and love today. But what made the game unique then and now is that it's also a resource management simulation. It allowed players to gather the resources they needed to create, so the creations meant more to them since they had to build with parts that they had collected on their own, not just given.
So for people who haven't played Minecraft, you're probably asking, how would you describe it? And honestly, I think it's a game that you really can't describe. It's really hard to answer. Minecraft fits into every genre, but at its most basic form, Minecraft is a sandbox. What's that? A sandbox game is named exactly after what it is, sandbox, where kids have no limitations on what they make. As is Minecraft, a game in which there are very little constraints on what the player is able to do. But starting up a world, most start up a survival world in which the player gathers resources from the world around them, exploring and uncovering more powerful gear as they venture deeper and farther around the world.
Today, 126 million people play each month, and since 2009, over 200 million copies have been sold. The game can be enjoyed in a variety of ways, ranging from YouTube videos to server games to even building an entire city on your own creative server. But as Ron John said, a core way to play is survival, and another one is creative. Lastly, Minecraft has had a huge surge during quarantine. People flocked back to a game that was more than a decade old. Why? Wasn't survival in the real world not exciting enough? But now back to the original question. What makes Minecraft essential games, survival and creative, so enjoyable? And why did people come back to Minecraft during quarantine?
Ultimately, I think it's safe to say that Minecraft's joy is that it offers a way for one to escape into their own world where the possibilities are endless and their creation is unbound by anything other than their imagination.
Okay.
That's something that we love during the quarantine. So let's get into it.
Right. So let's get into survival. So why is this enjoyable? There's almost an entire genre of horror and action movies dedicated to survival against the odds of nature. But today, for $30, you can spend hours experiencing that scenario virtually. Also, monsters are real here. Why has this brought Mojang millions of dollars?
So in my perspective, I think Minecraft, at its core, encourages thinking outside the box. So the world is randomly generated, and it offers so many opportunities to try out new things and often fail, which is, to me, super important. It's a very important piece of the game. It's really kept the game, to me, grounded, and pun not intended here. Things like fall damage, beds in the nether, and creepers, to me, are very important facets of this thing called probing. And it's basically, probing basically is this argument made by Ian Bogost, by Stephen Johnson, a famed author, who states that games create this very strong sense of trial and error within their players, particularly through exploration games. And Minecraft does this probably better than most games. And when you play survivals, there's so many obstacles that really simulate this reality of failure. And it wouldn't really be that much fun without them. To me, these little signs of failure as you probe the game, it almost simulated a conversation I was having with the game itself. It sounds super weird, but when I play Minecraft, it's like you're getting feedback from the game. You know, if you were to try to sleep in the nether, you would explode. That's just one of the ways Minecraft is played. By placing a bed in the nether and right-clicking, the bed explodes and you automatically die. The developers might have added this as like a little heads-up joke, but to me, after my first self-detonation, it felt as though the game was telling me, this right here, it doesn't work. And when the game tells you what doesn't work, it sucks. And it's super disappointing when you lose all your armor, especially if you thought it would work and it'd help you out a lot. But it just makes it all the better when you actually try and succeed. Kind of like the idea of economic scarcity. To have value, something can't be an infinite quantity. So to me, the trial and error in creative endeavors is what makes Minecraft survival so fun.
Yeah, I really agree with that. And the best part about Minecraft is that when you start the game, you're thrown in with no introduction, no tutorial. You're just expected to start. And where you begin is just on a flat land, and the game says, oh, explore. Now there are achievements that you can follow to eventually get to the quote-unquote end of the game, where you fight the dragon, which is kind of the final boss. But there's no instructions to get there. There's just achievements that encourage you to explore the depth of your world, really probe into how much Minecraft can offer you. And from there, you can try and eventually get to the end.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's actually like perfectly said. And another important thing to note is that originally Minecraft didn't have achievements. Slowly Minecraft has been trying to make it a little more kind of friendly to gamers who haven't probed that much. But at Minecraft's inception, like when I played in fifth grade, if you didn't know what to do, you just didn't know. And that's one of the, like, honestly, if you didn't know how to make another portal and you didn't have internet access, you weren't going to be able to make a successful internet portal, a nether portal.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
You had to be able to.
Do you remember the old Herobrine videos that we that you'd watch on?
I do remember
that. You'd watch on YouTube? People would, so from the community of Minecraft players, people made tutorials because there was no instructions on how to play the game.
Right.
And
right.
It also led to a lot of misinformation, but it was honestly one of the things that got more interest into Minecraft as it brought a game into a larger audience who became enamored with what Minecraft had to offer.
That's very true. I think that's another moment of brilliance that Minecraft had. It almost, like, Minecraft actually forces you to be within a community. Because there, if you were to try and like solve the problems of Minecraft on your own, you would not be able to. Like you, there's statistically like a 0% chance you would be able to create another portal on your own without help, or to like get diamonds and successfully mine without anybody else's help. There's
exactly.
Too many mistakes you would have made along the way that would mitigate your ability to do all these things.
Even the simple stuff like punching a tree to get wood. I wouldn't have thought of that if I hadn't seen somebody else play Minecraft in the first place.
Right.
And that,
right, yeah.
That's kind of the beauty.
So Minecraft really just done such, you know, to summarize, Minecraft has just done such a good job of combining the elements of probing and game community. And that to me is super important. But now that we've cleared up what makes Minecraft survival fun, let's address the actual elephant in the room, what we've talked about, the question we posed about why people build college campuses. What makes Minecraft creative fun? Who just built an entire college campus virtually? Does that provide any utility to somebody?
So in my Minecraft experience, I was more of a creative player. Like I remember first hearing about Minecraft after watching my friend play on his iPad, and I was amazed with the scope and enormity of the world that he was building in and playing in. I mean, he was making a mansion, and I just saw him choosing a wide array of different blocks and materials and just making his own house in a virtual world. And I remember watching him just thinking, I need to get home and do this myself. So since then, you know, I was always on creative mode, making castles, hotels, mansions, treehouses, anything you could think of. And it was a huge part of my childhood, like making things in a world where I didn't have much control over it, you know, as a child. And this idea of the creativity and making things in a world and doing things in a video game that you can't do outside is actually perfectly placed by Jamie Madigan, a psychology PhD. She says, where real life work fails, lack of timely feedback, insurmountable challenges in interpersonal conflict, games shine. So I feel like in Minecraft creative mode, you can do things, create things, experience things that you can't really do in real life, and that's what just makes it so engaging.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love the argument you made about how when real life, the Jamie Madigan quote you added, lack of timely feedback and insurmountable challenge and conflict. Games really allow for such a great degree of control. I think that's kind of what she's getting at a little bit, where you know, if the more control you have over your world, the less work it feels like when you're actually like building something, because you are the boss, you're the person doing the labor, you're the person doing the overall design. And to me, that's what makes Minecraft creative so fun. I completely agree with you there.
Exactly. And doing the work yourself, not having anybody else do it for you, and you coming up with that idea, makes the end result so much more satisfying. Like when I played as a kid early on as a Pocket Edition player, which is the game's mobile version, I built a roller coaster that I spent months on. And it was honestly, going back to it, I still have my old phone. It's terrible. But fifth grade me was so proud of what I did because I put the work in. And what did I get out of it? Just a 30-second ride on a virtual roller coaster. But since I made it, I was proud.
Since you, right. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I think, honestly, most people that have played Minecraft have, like, most people can agree with you there that they might have spent just an inordinate amount of time to create a structure that really provided very little utility when it was done. But it was the journey of creating it that made it so addictive.
Exactly. And talking about like an inordinate amount of time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's going on in the world. You know, it's quarantine. We all have an inordinate amount of time. For me, my quarantine ended my senior year of high school, returning me back to a time in which I had no academic obligations, no work, no stress, leading me to relapse into an old habit, watching my Minecraft YouTubers and playing the game. Minecraft has the beauty of having a community of players who make content from almost every way that you can possibly play the game. There are speedrunners who try and get to the end credits as fast as they can. There are creators who share their amazing maps and creations that they made in their creative mode, fully utilizing the sandbox element of the game. There are those who are more knowledgeable that showcase their programming and engineering expertise by using the game's more technical options that allow you to code to bend the limits of what the game could do. Whether it's making a functional 8-bit computer out of the redstone in Minecraft that works in game, or tying in external software to make a phone that can make video calls in real life and display it in Minecraft. All these, and there's the people that play competitively against others called player versus players or PvPers, and that work together to, they all work together to create content about Minecraft. The fact that so many people have such an extreme passion to become amazing at just one specific way, one niche of Minecraft, really shows how success in the game is only defined by the person who's playing it. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Success is in the eye of the Minecraft player, almost.
No, I like that. I like that a lot. You also mentioned something about how the community is quite wholesome and
I think
that's very true. In a game like Minecraft, people kind of share this joy of doing the work, maybe not in the same world, but of perfection.
And no matter what way you play, you feel like you belong to a group of kind people who found Minecraft to be something more than just a block game with primitive graphics. Yeah. It's so much more than that.
Yeah, and so, especially like when you do survival, I think, you know, the common sources of frustration of like being blown up by a creeper, that only adds to the community feel of it because everybody can relate to that.
Yeah, and returning to the game during quarantine, watching Minecraft content creators was a perfect way for me to keep my quarantine well spent. It was a game that never added stress. It was very laid back. I never had to worry about getting yelled at by a teammate because I wasn't pulling my weight. It was all on me. I could explore and interact with my world and other players in ways that were cut off to me before the pandemic. Because, honestly, I couldn't go out, but Minecraft is all outdoors. I can make my indoors and explore the outdoors with other people.
I like that a lot. Really, to summarize here, we've gone on a nice little journey talking about Minecraft survival and creative and really the recent surge in quarantine. The ultimate point we're trying to make here is that ultimately we think that Minecraft is fun because of the decisions you get to make and the freedom you're allowed. No other game gives you such a degree of freedom and trust in such a grand new world. And this explains why, you know, uncertain times, people fell back on Minecraft to play creative and survival when they experienced their longest rainy Sunday. We hope you enjoyed listening to our podcast. This was done by Ron John K., Andrew M., and Yono B., and overseen by Professor David Morgan at Emory University. Check out our sources, which are listed below in the bibliography. Thank you so much for watching, and stay tuned for next week's episode.